Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart today be on the level, in line with you and with your word. Amen. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall built with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting my plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. This vision came nearly 3,000 years ago to a guy named Amos. This guy, Amos, was no fancy court or temple prophet. No, Amos was a herder of cattle or sheep. He's used to dirt and sweat and hard work, like when he was dressing the fruit trees during fig season. He was a nobody, an amateur, a traveler from Judah sent north to the kingdom of Israel. But he has found himself in the king's favorite shrine in Bethel, a center of royal power and prestige, delivering a vision of doom and destruction for Israel, and doom for the king personally, from inside the king's sanctuary. This is not the first or the last time that Amos will have a vision of doom, and it's probably not the first or the last time he'll be kicked out of some place. But it is probably the incident that made old Amos famous. So famous that we're still reading his doom and gloom prophecies 28 centuries after he said them. But today I'm going to do something that I don't usually do, which is to set aside the historical and critical context, the geopolitical factors and the interesting insights on intra-Israelite intrigue. I'm setting aside all that because in this passage there is a gem, a pearl of such great price that you could sell all you have to buy the wisdom it conveys. One of the reasons I love the Bible is because it's full of these gems, these phrases that shimmer and resonate beyond the context, beyond the chapter and verse, and shine a light on our own experience in a way that only poetry and truth can really do. In this sermon, I want to mine this gem from out of the pit of Amos's doom and despair, and hopefully clean and polish it up for you. The gem is this, the plumb line. Now, many of us may not have used a plumb line or seen one. It's an ancient tool, really very simple, and along the same principle as a level. So if you still don't get what a plumb line is, you can just think level, because it works pretty much the same way. But a plumb line, you have a string and a weight at the bottom, and gravity pulls the weight down so that you have a true vertical line, which helps you line up your building projects and many other things. Now, the metaphor of the plumb line is the gem. The plumb line is something that God has set down for us to measure up against, a simple tool, a weight and a string, that gives direction and correction using a force that exists all around us, gravity, that none of us can see. You can't fool a plumb line, and pretty much anybody can use one. It works because gravity works, no matter how straight that wall looks to you, and no matter where you are. In Amos, you could say God's plumb line represents the law, God's covenant with Israel. You could say the plumb line represents Amos's prophecies, calling out Israel for its inequality, its iniquities, and its trampling of the poor. That God has set Amos in the king's sanctuary to show how out of whack the monarchy has gotten. But remember, I'm setting all that aside today. And our plumb line today, the standard that God has set for us is pretty obvious, right? The standard for us? There is no foundation other than that which has already been laid, Jesus Christ and him crucified. As Christians, and especially as Anabaptists, Jesus, in his words and his actions, and especially in his sacrificial death on the cross, is a direct line to God, the vision and the kingdom in the flesh. We strive to imitate Jesus. We test the values we see around us against his words. Now, I don't want to belabor this too much, mostly because I don't think it's anything that new or interesting to say that as Christians we follow Christ. What deserves our attention is that even if we all agree that Christ's words and deeds are our plumb line, the problem is that Jesus said and did a lot of things, and a lot of those are open to interpretation. Which part do we focus on? Does our plumb line run strictly through the cross, so vertical and symmetrical, anchoring us in Jesus' death for our sins? Or does it run straight through Bethlehem, focusing on the incarnation, the birth of God in a dirty barn? Or is our plumb line the Sermon on the Mount, an ethic of paradox and reversal, an apocalyptic disregard for status, wealth, and power? You see, to find our true plumb line, the truth that connects our minds and bodies with God above and the earth below, it takes more than just words on a page, even if they're the greatest words ever to be written. And Jesus' words have a pretty good claim to that title. As a group of believers, as a church, Jesus and his words provide the foundation for our life together. They serve as a shared point of reference, linking each of our unique life experiences and possibilities to one story that we can all learn and share. When opinions differ in the church, we turn to Scripture and figure out how to measure our response against our plumb line, Jesus. It works sometimes in groups and churches, but the sheer number of different denominations and flavors of Christianity suggests that historically, even Jesus' teachings are necessary but not sufficient to ensure that we're all pointing in the same direction. I'm sure this is because, in addition to our communal plumb line, Jesus' teachings, God has set for us a plumb line in ourselves. You know, a plumb line has many uses and various meanings. Among disciplines that study and move the body, such as kinetic medicine, dance, and yoga, practitioners often talk about the plumb line of the body. The idea is when you stand up straight, you could theoretically draw a vertical line inside your body, right down the middle, between left and right, between front and back. The line is imaginary, but it helps dancers rotate faster, helps diagnose conditions like scoliosis. The reason I bring it up, though, is because I believe that beyond our bodies, we each develop a plumb line of the spirit, a spiritual center line that runs right through the core of what you are, of how your beliefs and actions are linked or unlinked, an instinctual sense of how God relates to you and those around you, a conviction that helps you stand up straight when your back is against the wall. This is your personal plumb line. It is the point from which you approach the center, the unique life you've lived that colors and gives meaning to the words we read from Jesus, to the prayers we pray, to the songs we sing. When we say, God is our Father, we can't help but think about our own fathers. When we say, God forgives our sins, I can't help but think of my own sins. When Jesus says, I was hungry, naked, or in prison, we hear that very differently if we have experienced those things, or if we haven't. We accumulate nuggets of truth on our travels through time that stick with us, adding weight to our plumb line, a stronger pull in God's direction. You surely have your own examples. Something your mother always said. Something you read in a novel or a blog post. A line from a song, a verse from a hymn. We all have these touchstones, these little nuggets of truth that seem to connect to the way we feel God moving in our lives and in the world. When we map these onto our understanding that we are all made in the image of God and the lessons we learn from Jesus, they form our own plumb lines, what we hold tight to, the story we tell about God's love and God's work in our lives. What's your plumb line? What are the touchstones, the memories, the verses, and songs that you cling to, that give you direction when you need it? I want you to close your eyes and either sit up straight or stand up if you're bold. I want you to lean forward, slowly straighten your back, stacking each vertebrae on top of the other. Then tilt your head all the way back and slowly bring it forward, turning around the anchor point at the top of your neck, making yourself tall, the top of your head naturally lifting upward. Good. You got it? Try and hold that perfectly vertical pose and think of God's plumb line running through you from head to toe. Think of the experiences that have taught you who God is, who you are. Think of the memories, the verses, the songs that you cling to. Can you feel it? Can you sense it? You can relax now. The reason that I've gone to all this effort talking about plumb lines, our communal plumb line in Jesus, and our individual plumb lines shaped by our life experience, is that this plumb line, surprise, can be a tool. Just as thousands of years ago, builders used plumb lines for a purpose, so we can also use our own plumb lines, our spiritual centers, as a tool for getting information. Specifically, thinking about our plumb lines can tell us three things. The first thing that God's plumb lines tell us is related to the primary purpose of a physical plumb line, that is to find a true vertical line. The plumb line that God has given us in Jesus and in our own hearts represents a truth that never fails, a sort of spiritual gravity. Plumb lines don't lie. They don't sugarcoat the truth. If your wall is crooked, your plumb line's gonna tell you. Whether you're an amateur or a master builder, a plumb line or a level doesn't care. When you do something you know is untrue to yourself or doesn't fit with the example of Jesus, you feel something is off, not on the level. When you see something that society or our government is doing that goes against your spiritual gravity, it can make you dizzy, full of dissonance and despair. And as in Amos's case, the truth comes out even in the face of power. God's message to Amos must be spoken. The plumb line must be recognized even in the sanctuary of the king. So when we use our plumb lines as a tool, the first thing they tell us is that the truth comes out. Regardless of your social status or unconventional building methods, there is no arguing with gravity. The truth comes out. The second thing our spiritual plumb lines tell us is where we are and where we're going. The concept of the plumb line, the weighted string or cord, was an incredibly useful one in the course of history. In addition to keeping their walls straight, ancient people also used a weighted string or a plumb line to measure the angle of stars on the horizon. A true vertical line allows you to measure angles accurately, which allows you to figure out all kinds of things. With a tool called a quadrant that used a weighted string, sailors could navigate the seas and astronomers could make discoveries. In the same way that the quadrant used a vertical line to measure angles, our spiritual plumb lines provide a fixed point, a line that keeps us true and centered in God and rooted in our location on earth, in families and communities. When we are centered on our plumb lines, we can figure out where we're going, navigating the daily struggles of our lives and the existential struggles of our nation with a clarity that only our connection to God can provide. We can see how different paths run in parallel with God's and which lead off at strange angles. So the second thing we can learn from our spiritual plumb lines is where we are and where we're going. The third thing we can learn from the idea of a spiritual plumb line comes from the metaphor of the plumb line as revealing God's gravity. This one's my favorite. It's my favorite because you don't think of it right away, but once you hear it, it makes so much sense. So here it is. A plumb line doesn't point down. It points toward the center. Think about it. The weight of the plumb line is pulled on by gravity, not in an arbitrary down direction, but toward the center of the earth. If I hold a plumb line here in Denver, and you hold one in Antarctica, or Armenia, or Alaska, or even Aurora, they'll point in slightly different directions, or more accurately, in the same direction at different angles, toward the center. In the same way, the precise direction of each of our spiritual plumb lines depends on the life experiences that shape them. Even in this room, where we sit side by side in the same place, sharing many of the same core truths and values, our plumb lines might appear to run in parallel. But we each approach our faith in Jesus from a different perspective, shaped by our families, our relative privilege, our personalities. Sometimes being in a group like this can even warp our sense of gravity, letting us imagine that because our plumb lines seem to point the same direction, that we know where down is, that what is down for us is down for everyone, that what is right for us is right for everyone. We might encounter a person whose perspective is so different, whose life experience seems so foreign, that their plumb line seems perpendicular to ours. But sometimes even beliefs and cultural practices that strike us at odd angles may still be pointing toward the center. Where your plumb bob sits depends on where you stand. So what have we learned from this gem, this metaphor of the plumb line? We learned that the plumb line doesn't lie. The truth will come out. We learned that the plumb line shows us where we are and where we're going. And we learned that our plumb line doesn't point down. It points toward the center. We learned that even if Jesus is our plumb line as a community, we each have our own spiritual center, a plumb line specific to you and your life experiences that shape how you relate to Jesus and to his teachings. If you feel like your spiritual plumb line is hard to find or still in motion, that's okay. Sometimes it takes a while for the weight to settle out, for the line to steady. Sometimes your hands are shaky, or the wind is strong. But like the force of gravity, never tiring, never ceasing, never wavering, God is calling us toward the center. God's love pulls us all from wherever we stand towards God's self. God is setting a plumb line in the midst of all God's people, and God will never again pass us by. Amen.
For our hymn of response, would you turn with me to 545 in the hymnal, 545, Be Thou My Vision. Let's stand.